Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning. Hi. Welcome to Women Lead Radio, and it's brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Donna Netwig, and this is my show, and it's called Tales from the Trenches. And it's going to be about conversations with women that are in the middle of building their businesses and their lives. I think this is where all the gold is. When people are in the middle of it and everything is fresh, it has more to share and to really help people look at what their needs are, what their pivots are, what the surprises are in all of this, and having deeper conversations about it. It's basically discussions that will help women flourish. I love talking about the Theodore Roosevelt quote, and it's the man in the arena, but I call it the femme in the arena, and it really talks about trying and being in the middle of that. So today our topic is growing and supporting through real conversations. And, yes, we are all in this together. And our leading lady today is Gianna Wurzel, and I'm really excited to introduce you to her. She's a co-founder of Quilt, and it's a very heart-centered business, and she's such a lovely, wonderful person to talk with. She is very grounded and focused, and that doesn't always go together. So good morning, Gianna. How are you?
Hi, Donna. I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you so much. So let's just start right off and tell us a little bit about your business and how you started it and what really inspired it. What was the motivating factor?
Yeah, absolutely. So Quilt is a conversation platform for women. So what does that actually mean? It means that we have built a piece of technology which is inclusive of a mobile application that empowers women to open up their own homes to other women for meaningful conversations. So we have created an entire digital library of topics, everything from desire and sexuality to leadership and power all the way to creativity. And so our hosts, the women who unlock their front doors to other women, choose one of those topics on a monthly or a biweekly basis. We have some hosts that are super active, which is awesome. And then 3 to 8 other women come into their home to have that hour-long meaningful conversation. So it's just this idea of less small talk, more real talk. We all know that, particularly I live in LA and everyone feels very called to talk about the weather or traffic, whereas I'm like, okay, cool. What else? And so, you know, I think there's something really beautiful and really valuable about diving deep with a group of strangers and leaving friends. And that sort of connection and that authentic conversation in a place like a home that already feels so comfortable and welcoming is the future. And again, women connecting out of homes is not new. All I say is that we don't necessarily have to sell things to one another anymore to get together, though I am
beautiful.
Very much in support of a lot of those models.
So
that's what Quilt is today. And the genesis for that idea really started quite a few years ago when I was living in Melbourne, Australia. And I used to work as a digital strategist for large advertising agencies. And I was in Melbourne for almost 5 years. I always had a burning desire to create something for women. And that could have been a number of different things. But I really started with unique dining experiences. So every month, I would curate a dining experience for up to 16 women. We would come together. We'd break bread. Some would leave best friends or new business partners, and sometimes you'd just get a book recommendation and an amazing meal, but that was enough. And I did that for quite a few years. And then I started my first business when I was living in Australia, which was called One Roof. And that was converting homes into community and co-working spaces for women. So the idea behind that was really offices were invented by men 200 years ago. We all know that. Fine. What is the next? What is the evolution? What is it that women now want to create? We have the opportunity to do that. And I was sitting inside this large ad agency that was very, you know, a seemingly creative environment with fake grass and massive Jenga and inspirational words written on the wall. And at the end of the day, you look down, it's still gray carpet and fluorescent lights and kind of going, well, wait a second, like this isn't really the environment I want to work in. And so the answer for me, the solution as opposed to being focused on the problem, was that I really wanted to be in a home with natural light that felt with other women. And so that's what I created. And I brought that concept to LA in 2015 and worked on that for about 18 months. And through that, I met my now business partner, Ashley Sumner. And her and I, it was really the power of both of us to come together and integrate technology so that it wasn't just myself, i.e. one room, opening up this one home, but in fact, how do we empower women to do the same thing so that it's more accessible to more women? And that's what Quilt is today.
A bigger reach. I love that. Mm-hmm. What I really love is that you say unlock their houses, because I think that speaks volumes, because by saying that, it's also kind of saying unlock our minds, unlock our fears, you know, open up. And I think that speaks to the creativity that you're trying to develop within these women to communicate and open up possibilities. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think it's actually, you know, you've been to cult gatherings. I think it's actually
right.
the most natural thing in the world, you know, for women to unlock their front doors, put on a pot of tea, and welcome other women in. It's like such a joy, you know, to share our spaces with other women. And it feels so safe and supportive. And again, it is a really welcoming environment because we are a diverse community and we don't want to just look the same and all be doing the same things with the same
right.
belief systems. And so the home really does create that environment for everyone to come in and feel, because everyone's got a different personality. Some people are really introverted and shy. Some people are really extroverted and outgoing, and they walk into the house, they're like, hey, what's up? How are you? And some other women walk in and are like, hi, you know, like, what's going to happen here? and it's like, it's all okay. We're just going to have a cup of tea and have a conversation. And, you know, it's amazing to watch these women, to really watch them blossom and connect with one another, because we always talk about competition. And, you know, statistically and biologically, women actually thrive in collaborative environments, not competitive environments.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to say, you know, I have attended, and what I really, really appreciated was the diversity, because we tend to live in these silly little bubbles, and then we really have no understanding of each other and how to support each other, and it also helps us grow. So I really, really have to thank you for that. I really appreciated that.
Yeah, of course. We're so happy that you said yes. You know, you let your curiosity lead.
So how long have you been in this business? Where are you in the stages of growth?
Yeah, totally. So Ashley and I really came up with the idea sometime in 2016. And I remember I still have such a vivid memory of her and I being in New York, starting our investor conversations in like December of 2016, and, you know, contacting our attorney, and she formed the corporation, and Ashley and I walking into a Chase bank in New York City and going, okay, we're ready to open a bank account. I think we each put $1,000 into it.
I love it.
And yeah. And then we raised our first round of kind of friends and family, though, you know, none of our family came into it, but it was really angel investors in April of 2017. And we did a soft launch in September and raised some more money. And then last September of 2018, we did a $3 million venture capital round that was still really our seed. We're really not at a series A stage yet, but you know, but we're working on it, and you know, that could be something happening at the beginning of the year.
Tell me a little bit of, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, since you brought that up, where are you? Talk to me a little bit about the angel investors and going for VC money. I'm sure everybody would be interested in getting some information about that. It sounds like that was the first step you were taking, was going out for funding. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we both had really built community for a long time, whether it was me doing it through dinners and One Roof or her doing it working with large brands like Neuhaus or Wanderlust. And so we had built community, and that, you know, we had that set foundation, but we also, neither of us are independently wealthy, and we knew that this concept, even, you know, with the nature of us building the technology that we wanted to build, was
right.
not going to happen without funding. And so that's really why we made that decision in April of 2017. And then, you know, raising the venture capital round, it definitely changes things. You know, I mean, we love all of our investors, and they're all very heart-centered and understand the mission and the movement of what we're creating. And, you know, they're venture capitalists. So it does create another level of pressure and a different timeline than maybe what is natural to these sorts of businesses, you know. But that's kind of the nature of the beast and what we've chosen to engage in order to bring this to life. You know, we're currently live in LA, New York, and San Francisco, and we're testing another few cities right now, actually, before the end of the year, and seeing how that goes. Kind of DC and Portland, because we've had women reach out from all over the world who've run concepts through from the national press that we've received, saying, I want to bring this to my city. And, you know, we've been very protective of that because we want to ensure that the quality is there. And I think we're at a point now where we've laid the foundation for that level of quality, where I think we definitely can trust other women to kind of carry the torch and see how it pops in other cities.
Right, it's really necessary. And I have to say, having lived in Boston for so long, that would be actually a good city to look at.
Oh, Boston's on our list. I think it's
the largest
population of college students in the U.S. So there's definitely a lot happening in Boston.
Always, yeah. So tell me just a little bit. So few women get money from VC people.
Mm-hmm.
What was the trick?
Yeah, right. A lot of meetings, like so many meetings, you know, and also, I mean, meetings, perseverance, and Ashley and I had really spent many years building relationships with people and never really asking for anything. So we were providing so much value in connecting our network to one another. And so when it came time for our ask, it was really beautiful to see the way that the people showed up to that, whether it was someone inside of our network that actually invested, which were there were quite a few in Ashley's and a few in mine. But, you know, really it was just about the referral and the confidence in what we were building. And it's an idea that most people are kind of like an F yes, like they get it and they're like, oh, wow, this is so interesting. It's so simple and ancient yet new. And the way that people showed up to that was really wonderful. So just putting us in contact, and we honestly said yes to every meeting because we didn't really know what we were doing, and it couldn't hurt to practice our narrative and understand what was resonating with different people. Ultimately it was really going into that inner circle first. Think of like concentric circles. The inner circle first, then who's the next tier of individuals that we want to reach out to, and so on and so forth. And a lot of the time, our innermost circle were the ones that were introducing us to the next round of individuals that we were meant to meet with. But, you know, we probably took 100 meetings. Sometimes when we were in New York, we were like, you know, every hour just going into a different meeting, kind of running around like crazy people, just like telling
our
story and jamming it. You know, it's that's what it took. That was kind
I'm
of
a true believer.
Our
perseverance and imperfect action is ultimately going to give you what you want. So
I love it.
And I do believe just what you were saying, that there is a longing for this. And I think there has been for quite a while. And you can see the reality of this thought, because it's like people are really just coming to you. You have been having a great response in such a short period of time, actually. I mean, from since 2017. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. You know, it's always nice to be reflected back to us, because I think sometimes for us it feels like 10 years and it's only been two. In a beautiful way. It's not a complaint, but it's like, you know, we always think that we're going to be our personal timeline doesn't necessarily match up to the universal timeline.
And even the stories that were told so much. I know in my I had a marketing and sales agency in Boston, and I used to hire people, and I only hired women to support them because women weren't being promoted in this arena. And actually, I was the only woman-owned agency. And I would hire people, and I would say, okay, it's not going to happen. You're not going to make these figures in the first year, and it and you're lucky if it will come in 3 years. And I know you think you're exception, but it normally takes about 5 years. And people have such a hard time hearing it, including when we're telling ourselves that.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah. So it just takes a while, and you need to just keep going with persistence and imperfect action. I'm a true believer. As long as you're in movement, you're going to be going forward. So... or learning a lot.
Well, thank you for the reminder.
So we know you came from the corporate world. So what was really the most difficult thing for you personally while you were making the change and conceptualizing and creating your business?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think what's interesting is when my business partner and I in Australia had come up with One Roof, and we tested it over the course of a week. So we rented out an Airbnb listed property and converted it into a community and co-working space for women. So it was co-working in the morning and an event space in the evening. We partnered with various organizations that were female-led and allowed them to use the space. And we had over 500 women come through the door in a week. And after that, I mean, there was no question. I was like, cool, this is what I'm doing. And so I think that, you know, what's beautiful about that is kind of really following my heart and my gut intuition. There just like wasn't a choice for me. And, you know, there, of course, then became a financial struggle, right? I mean, I had a little bit of savings. I knew I was moving back to the U.S. I had been gone for a long time. You know, and I was fortunate enough to live with family and stuff at the beginning, so I wasn't paying rent. But, you know, that level of planning probably was it was not in place. I just kind of was like, this is what I'm doing, and I can't do anything else. This is it. And so, you know, the financial struggle was real, but I think what was beautiful about it is it really forced me to identify the things that I care about. So, you know, whereas maybe I used to shop and have too many, I mean, I probably still have too many clothes, but, you know, or travel or these things, like, the thing that I actually started to really value and understand that was like a non-negotiable for me was a morning coffee, which was $5 here in Venice Beach.
I love it.
And that was it. I was like, that is like, that's super important to me, and I'm not willing to let that go. And so so other things, you know, were let go in place of that so that I could spend whatever $30 a week on coffee. But yeah, the financial struggle was real. The work life, we call it integration, is still something that I work on every day, because, you know, time management is so important and we have so much going on and really trying to make space. And I think it is super important, and we talk about this a lot, that, you know, I do have family here in LA. I'm very close to my family. I have an amazing group of friends. I am an artist. I am a poet. So I am also fiercely protecting the other elements of my life.
Okay.
So that quilt is absolutely my focus and the thing that I spend, you know, 95% of my time on, but I need to create more capacity because I also want to see my family, you know, and I also want to write and I also want to go and hang out with friends. And I definitely was in a stage for quite a while, and I was fortunate, particularly, well, both with One Roof and Quilt, that I enjoy being in community with women, right? So even though I was doing that multiple times a week, it's something that I really enjoy. And so that didn't feel as straining. But yeah, the financial component is real. That struggle is hard, and then the work-life integration piece, I think, takes a long time to be more masterful, and I'm still fumbling my way through it.
Well, and it's not always possible. It's how you have to rearrange that. You know, everyone's always talking about balance, but when you're starting a business, it's really hard to. So it's I kind of always felt like you have to be straight out, because at the beginning it's always so reactive. You don't know what you don't know, right, about what's coming your way. So it is about, at least you might be working 7 days in a row, but then find some space the next week. So you're not doing that every week. Yeah. So it's not always balanced. Sometimes you're straight out in one area, but then remember to get straight out and more in the personal also.
Yeah, I mean, that's like so well said, because I think, you know, that is a reality that I don't want to sugarcoat, is that when you start, like, that's it. You know, like, you are consumed, you are in, you are, you know, pretty much 24/7. If you're not working on it, you're thinking about it, trying to figure things out, trying to find product market fit and marketing and all of these components. And that is a reality. So, you know, mm-hmm. thank you for saying that.
Yeah, people, especially if you're coming from the corporate world, you don't really understand the intensity and of getting something going and the whole reactive world, because the first year or two, to me, is a very mushy, chaotic time, because you're trying to find that sweet spot of what you want to do, what your skills are, and what the market wants. So it's you have to be flexible, and that's a big learning when you're starting out, especially coming from, you know, the persistence, the inactive, the imperfect action, and being flexible. Don't be afraid, you know, don't make a plan and then just be rigid about it, because it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. That's a very nice reminder. Yeah. Not the only one.
You're funny. So what brings you the most joy, and which is the most exciting part of your journey right now?
Yeah, great question. You know, I love being in community with women. So, you know, for example, this week, let's see, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day I am, whether I'm facilitating and I'm hosting, or I'm going to something and facilitating, or I'm just attending an outside event, I'm in community with people all week.
Mm-hmm.
But it is my greatest joy to be in a room with anywhere from 5 to 150 women. And I've facilitated groups, you know, that range within that. And to facilitate them in meaningful connection, and to really create the environment that feels warm and welcoming, and that feels like no matter where you're at in your journey, or what you're wearing, or what you look like, or how old you are, that everyone is welcome. And I love creating that environment and then facilitating connection within it. So that is I feel energized by that. I don't feel depleted, because I think that that's also something that, to your point, that you start to learn, you know, like, what are the things that I'm really good at, and what are the things that energize me? Because I think we're all capable of doing so many things, and we can learn anything.
Right.
And particularly in a startup, you're doing everything, right? Even the things you don't know how to do. And so really coming to a point now where I love that. And I'm also leading partnerships for Quilt. So I think that's also really, really fun to see where we can collaborate with other brands or organizations to either bring Quilt into corporations or to collaborate with other brands that are complementary, because, you know, everyone's always trying to figure out their marketing mix and reach a wider audience, and coming from a really feminine place, wanting to collaborate on those things. So those community and with women and partnership, I think partnerships are really the places that I have a tendency to light up. And then, of course, I've done 4,000 other things within the business, everything from payroll to financial modeling and operations and, you know, taking out the trash and everything in between. So
amazing. Yeah. the little minutia. So while we're talking about this, that was an interesting conversation about developing partnerships. I think this would be a good time. What else? I mean, would you want people to contact you? How would they contact you? And what's what would be the reasons that they would want to contact you, or you would like to have them contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there are kind of, I mean, there are a multitude of ways that we can partner right now. We're partnering with other female-led communities, and sometimes we're partnering on gatherings or partnering on creating discussion guides that go into the digital library that I mentioned. We're also in the process of testing out what it looks like to bring Quilt into a corporation. So what happens when we start to elevate our water cooler conversation and connect people on a real authentic level across departments? So we're starting to test that. And then there are a number of different ways in between. So if anyone I think is interested in partnering with us in that way, then I am so open to that and would love the opportunity to do that. So they can contact me. I can give that information now.
Please, and then we'll also put it in a link also, but if you could share it with us now, that would be wonderful.
Okay, wonderful. So my email is Gianna, G-I-A-N-N-A, at wequilt.com. So that is certainly one way to contact me, and then I can give you my Google Voice number that connects to my phone number. I actually just have to find it, which I'm doing right now. Because I did originally have just my actual phone number being given out, and it's always good. This does come directly to me, but that number is 323-334-0508. And I know you have that information, so you can also send that around to anyone that is interested. But you can,
so this is your Google number?
Yeah, so it goes directly to my cell phone. It's just not my actual cell phone number. So you can call me or text me anytime,
right,
and I'll reply.
Right. I'm sure you don't want any, call directly to your home phone from international, because we are, national and international audience. What about if people are interested in creating something in their city, since this is national and international? Is there a process?
Yeah, completely. There is. Right now we're just asking those individuals email, and then we go through an onboarding process with the women who are interested in bringing this to their city. So, we have a playbook that we've created that really supports those women. And we do ask for, a 3-month commitment, that if someone wants to really give this a go, and we give you financial and marketing support to do that, that we really try it for 3 months before we just try it 1 month and then say, one and done. But we are onboarding each of those individuals, one-on-one, basically. And so the best thing to do is email me or call me, and we can get you set up.
Excellent. Okay. Well, time is, going so quickly here. I'm trying to think if there's any other question. I guess the only other question, and we just have, a few seconds on this, what would have been the most important information for you to have had in your earlier business stage development that would have simplified or made you more effective or made the process go a little more smoothly?
Yeah, we had this advice early on from one of our first investors, Sarah Harden. She's now the CEO of Hello Sunshine with Reese Witherspoon, and she's amazing and is such a brilliant woman, and also just so humble and lovely. And she said to us over and over again, focus, 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 one city at a time, one offering at a time. And frankly, we didn't do that. We tried a lot of things, and we went on the journey in the way that we were meant to. And I think that that's probably the number one issue that every entrepreneur has is focus, because I think you've got a good idea. There's a lot of opportunity that comes in, and it's very easy to get distracted by the next bright, shiny object, whereas it's it really is just one thing at a time. So had we followed that, maybe we'd be at a different stage, but I trust that we are where we are because this is where we're meant to be.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I really, really want to thank you. We're out of time.
Yeah, thank you, Donna.
I really, really appreciate you sharing and being so open with the information. And I'd also do a special thanks to all our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally. And we'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show. They're every Monday at 9 a.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m. And I've really been happy to host this program, and I'm really enjoying it. Hopefully we're getting a lot of information from everybody, for everybody. And all I want to say is take a chance. Surprise yourself. Let's pull each other up on the way. We're all in this together, and we forget this. And that old culture of competition, it's so primal, and it's just got to go the way of the dinosaurs because we need each other. So thank you very much, and enjoy. Everybody have a great week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.